wanted to read just a portion of last week's that we ended up with. We're going to start in verse 22 today, but in verse Matthew 12, in verse 17 of 12, he says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth his justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles shall trust." Excuse me. You know, last week when we talked about Jesus and what he came to do, that portion really hit me about what he wasn't going to do, and he wasn't going to crush people. If we're already down and out, he's not going to take the, you know, put the candle out completely so that no more smoke is being raised and a bruised reed. He's not going to break it when we're already bending over and hurting and struggling. What Jesus comes to do is heal and to help and to restore. And of course we know that, but it's a good reminder that he's here to bless people. Like he said, "I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly." So he wants to enrich our lives, not really hurt our lives. Although there are problems in this world we live in that bring us down, well, Jesus comes to help us. And as we continue on here, we see that Matthew, I don't know if you guys have red letter Bibles. How many of you have red letter Bibles? A lot of you, over half of you have. You know what's interesting? The book of Matthew, because it's written to the Jews, and it explains a lot of things about the Jews. I was researching, and there is 1,068 verses in the book of Matthew. Of those 1,068 verses, there are 638, something like that, 87 verses in red. In other words, Jesus is quoted in speaking here two-thirds of the book of Matthew. Two-thirds of the book of Matthew is a direct quote about what Jesus said. So we know that as we read, we are being taught by him. And in verses 22 here, and all the way to 37, which I'm going to do today, the majority of that is in red. And we read here that it said, "Then one was brought to him." Remember, he was at the temple. And it says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw." Many scholars believe that the demon possession of this man in this man is what caused him to be blind and mute. I read that the Jewish people had exorcisms, casting out of demons, but they could only do it with the demons that they knew their names, like we know of Legion, you know, having 6,000 demons. And when this guy's being mute and blind, that he couldn't speak, he couldn't tell them the name of this demon. And so to them, this guy was lost. There was no healing for him. So Jesus comes in the scene, and they bring this guy. It says they brought this demon-possessed guy who was blind and mute, and then it says he healed him, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and say, "Here's the stuff you've been doing." And personally, I want a big list. I don't want him to come and say, "Well, I know you're in here somewhere, Augie. Let me. Oh yeah, here you are. Here's the two things you did." I'm still going to be in heaven, don't get me wrong, but I don't want a two-item list. I hope to have a book where God says, "Man, this is the things you've been doing. You're gathering." Jesus, this statement, I have never seen it like that before. Man, if I'm not gathering, then you're scattering. It's like, "Oh Lord, well, help me gather." You know, heck, my people came from being pickers, man. We can do this. This is no problem, man. Shoot, as a kid, I picked. You know, I know what that's about. get out there and pick. It's, Lord, here I am. I kind of remember. Let's do this. So awesome, right? And then here we go on to the next section. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. I like this verse. I like verse 31. It's been a very good help to me. Not just when I got saved, but even since then. Every sin, that means you can name anything you want to name. He even said you could even talk about Jesus. You could curse Jesus. You could badmouth Jesus. Anything you've ever done, and he's talking in a wide range to anyone out there. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the group that was there. Everyone within listening ears, he says, every sin will be forgiven you. Every sin. You know, when I think of that, I it's like there's nothing we could do that will not be forgiven. It led me to believe that even if Hitler himself had repented of the terrible crimes he did, he would be forgiven. Because every sin can't be forgiven. Every sin. There's not anything that we could do to one another that cannot be forgiven. And to me, honestly, that's good news. You know, I know we look at people and we think, you know what, they just need to be put to death. And for what they did, they probably do. But for salvation, there's always the chance that they can be saved, even if they were put to death. Because every sin can be forgiven. He said, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So we know you can curse Jesus. We can do something to one another. We can do all that. But the only thing that will not be forgiven, he says here, is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? There's several beliefs of it. My personal belief is that I'm rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart. That's what I believe it means in a nutshell. See, I know the Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus to men, to mankind. That's his ministry. And there's all sorts of things associated with that. You know, we know he's the teacher. He comes to lead. He comes to guide. He comes to show us how to live the walk we're supposed to live. And he comes to empower us so we can do that. He comes to empower us so we can turn the internet off and say, no, you shouldn't watch that. He empowers us to say, you know what, that R-rated movie, you know you got no business doing that. So he convicts us and he's grieved by that. But he gives us the power to do that also. He gives us the power to shut things off, turn things off, or turn away. By our own strength, we cannot do it. Many times we will fall into those traps and lies. But if we call upon the Holy Spirit, guess what? He will empower us to turn from them things that we have been doing and turn another direction, because that's his ministry for us. That's why Jesus gave them to us. He says when the helper comes, he's going to help you. Now, I know we know about that. But he says, but if you reject the message of the Holy Spirit, that's the one thing that cannot be forgiven. Now, of course, we think of blasphemy and we think, man, am I even saved? Well, if you're here and you're even thinking about Jesus, there's no way you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because that's contrary to what he came to do. He came to bring us to Jesus. And I look at these verses and I think, man, when is it too late? It's too late when God says it's too late. And by the way, death, I used to think once death happened, it's too late for anybody. I don't think that anymore. There comes a time when God just says it's too late and it's over, even if a guy's still alive on this earth. When he's done, he's done. Let me give you a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 tells us, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever.